My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the 18th century, there was a man called Gilbert West. He did not like it that a lot of his friends were becoming Christians. So he decided to write a book to disprove the resurrection. Because if you can disprove the resurrection, you can also disprove Christianity. So he started writing a book. Midway through his book, he encountered Christ. Something happened dramatically. He encountered Christ. And anybody who encounters Christ must have a radical change in his or her life. Gilbert encountered Christ and wrote his book the other way around, supporting the resurrection and Christianity, abandoning his former plans of disproving the resurrection and destroying Christianity. In the 19th century, there was a man, a famous atheist, here in the United States of America, called Ingersoll. Ingersoll did not like the way Christianity was growing at that time. So he decided that he must find a way to destroy Christianity. Ingersoll had a friend, a famous general in the army called Lew Wallace. So he said to his friend, "Lew, you must help me to destroy Christianity. And the only way to do it is to disprove the resurrection. You must write a book to disprove the resurrection." So Lew Wallace started writing a book. Lew Wallace had a wife who was a Christian, and she knew what her husband was doing. So she started praying for her husband. Midway through the book, Lew Wallace encountered Christ and made a new turn. Instead of disproving the resurrection, he wrote his book supporting the resurrection and supporting Christianity. And he called his book Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur. In the 20th century, there was a man called Frank Morrison. He was a lawyer and a journalist. So he didn't like the way Christianity was growing at that time. He decided to write a book to disprove the resurrection and destroy Christianity. He was a clever lawyer and a good journalist. So he knew how to manipulate words and manipulate arguments to be logical. So he started writing a book to disprove the resurrection and destroy Christianity. Midway his book, he encountered Christ and made a new turn, supporting the resurrection and Christianity, abandoning his old plan of disproving the resurrection and destroying Christianity. He called his book, "Who Moved the Stone?" Right here in my hand is the book written by Frank Morrison, who moved the stone by Frank Morrison. This is an evidence to show that what we are saying is not a fabricated story. So, if you are in a hurry to encounter Christ, start writing a book to disprove the resurrection. In the gospel of today, I would like to make a little analogy, linking it with what is happening around us. Peter and the beloved disciple, supposedly, we know, when we say beloved disciple, we know that that is John. Peter and John, we are told that the Lord had risen. So they set out. They started running to the tomb. John, being younger than Peter, reached the tomb before Peter, but did not enter. He waited because he was afraid. Now, in my own interpretation, the elderly ones we have around us represent Peter. And the young ones we have around us represent John, the beloved. As we all know, when the young ones, the youth, the first day they received Holy Communion, that's the first communion, they were so excited. They invited everybody. The Germans would say, with engagement, they invited everybody, invited grandma, grandpa, their parents, their friends, their joy was so great. But what happened after that? Then they received the sacrament of confirmation. They were so excited. But when they started encountering the difficulties of life, what happened? They started losing the interest they have in things of God. They stopped searching for Jesus. John came to the tomb. He didn't enter. He was afraid. Like the youth of today, who are afraid because they are encountering a lot of difficulties in life. They stopped searching for Jesus. But look at the parents who represent Peter. They are still searching for Jesus. You see them always in the church. During morning mass, during Sunday mass, you see them. But where are the youths? Where are they? When you look around the church now, how many of them are here? Thanks be to God. Some of them are here. Some of them. And also the kids. Now, the elders, the parents, are the leaders of the society. And leadership is all about action and not position. And leading others to do the same in a coordinated manner. So what do you do, parents? If you are here in this church, where are your children? If you are married and if you have children, where are they? I thank those who brought their children along. What are you going to tell or to say to your children at home after this mass? Are you going to say to them, thank you so much for warming the house while we were there at the church celebrating mass? Or are they at home preparing the lunch the family will take this afternoon? Just tell me. Where are they? So, parents, please, you are to help to make sure that your children are following your footsteps. This is very important. Don't leave anybody behind. This is the message of today. If you are happy, you must extend the same happiness to others. You can't be happy alone. May God bless you and happy Easter.